and amen. Well, tonight we are continuing our series we're calling While in Transit, and we've just been simply talking about along the lines of the journey that God has called you and I to. I feel like I repeat myself often, and sometimes I get a little insecure about it, but I think it's important that we keep it before ourselves. Hopeful statements such as God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God has a destiny for you. You are not an accident, all right? You didn't show up on planet Earth, all right? No, it doesn't matter by what means you showed up, okay? If your parents got crazy in the backseat of a car and they weren't expecting you and they weren't planning you as some drunken stupor place, but no matter how you got here, no matter how dark the scene that, you know, by which you came, okay, you didn't show up and God was like, oh man, what am I going to do with this one? God knew who you were even before the foundation of the world, and he has a plan for your life. And I believe that you, like me, have a desire, and if you don't, God can help you with that. And if you don't, maybe it's time to start to develop a desire to reach for the goal that God has for us, to reach for the destiny, to begin to press and to move toward that thing. Okay, God didn't call us to live lives where we just wander, you know, throughout our days and hope to make the most of it. God has a goal. God has a target. God has an expected end for you and for me. And I like so much what Paul says, and these guys don't have it in the back. And so if you brought your Bible, you can just real quickly turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12. And I just want you to see Paul's stance in life. Paul's stance in life this verse is just so compelling and so powerful and really speaks to you and I today about how we should approach our lives and what kind of stance we should have. In verse number 12, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12, he says, not that I have already attained, I've not reached where I'm headed yet, or I'm already perfected. He says, but I press on. Do I have any pressers in the house tonight? Amen. But I press on, he says, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul understood that he was saved, but that Jesus had grabbed a hold of him and had a purpose and an intention in mind. And the same is true for you. And so you and I need to be about the business, if you will, of reaching toward that destiny. And so that's kind of what we've been talking about. So the title of the series is While in Transit. And we've been talking about, you know, while you're on this journey, the things we need to know and the things we need to do in order to see it through to the end. You don't just want to start well, you want to finish well. And you want to reach that place. Interestingly enough, we've been pulling from the Lord's Prayer in order to gain our insights and our points and understand what God has for us to understand. God has for us to do in life. It's interesting because we're looking at a prayer to figure out what to do. You might think that, you know, when we find a prayer in the Bible, we should pray it. Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. And we're not by any means, you know, belittling that or lessening that. Jesus left us the Lord's Prayer here in Matthew chapter 6 so that we would pray it. Amen. Maybe we should have just showed up and talked about that. I don't know. But so that we would pray. In fact, there's I don't know if you've heard the song. There's a song, The Lord's Prayer, and they actually sing the song. I love to sing the song. Our Father, who art in heaven, right? Right? And it's so wonderful to put the Lord's Prayer, to make it a prayer through song, okay? And so it should be prayed, and we need to pray it. And it would be a powerful prayer to pray for our lives. But in addition to that, on top of that, what we need to understand, what we need to look at in this portion of scripture is that Jesus is not interested in just giving you and I a prayer to pray, but he's also interested in communicating the truths we need to know and the truths we need to have to put to practice in our lives so we'll see the journey through to the end. How do we know this? I mean, if you look at this prayer, for me, it's very journey-esque. You follow me? It's like it has journey in it. It has travel in it. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, right? Very interesting to note that Jesus, he comes along and he prays and he says, God, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. As we forgive our debtors. Thank you. Right? But Jesus never committed any sin. So why is Jesus praying that God would forgive him? Because he's trying to lead us into some things, into an understanding, and into doing some things in order to see our journey through to the end. And so let's just go ahead and let's just begin to read this here one more time, beginning in verse number 9, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. And we talked about already how God, he's a father. We talked about his position in heaven. His kingdom is above all. He's not just a father, but he is an all-powerful father. Thank God. And he calls the shots. Aren't you thankful today that you can rest in the assurance that God has got everything under control, right? We talked about Jesus said, hallowed be your name. And we talked about the fear of God. And that is not to be afraid of God, but that is to honor him and respect him, you know, with the utmost reverence. And so let's just read it. And it says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Jesus says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He says, your kingdom come. He says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody said, amen. That was a little bit better than last week. Praise the Lord. But what I wanted to do this evening is I really wanted to hone in and really focus on verse number 11. And in verse number 11, Jesus makes this statement and he says, give us this day our daily bread. One of the things that I think you and I need to realize as we're on this journey, as we're endeavoring to fulfill what God has for our lives, is that we're going to run into times of need. It's impossible to go through life and not find yourself in a place of need. Like, need, having needs is a part of this life, right? You need to eat every day. Can somebody say amen? We like to do that, don't we? We need to eat. We need to drink. My wife's always on top of me. You need to drink more water. That's why you get headaches. That's why you have the problems that you do. Anyways, okay? So we need to drink. We need to be clothed. Praise the Lord. We need money. Can somebody say amen? We need transportation. We need security. We have needs, and that's just a part of life. And I think sometimes as you and I are living out God's will for our life, it's like, okay, God, I heard your voice. I know what direction you want me to take. We somehow come to the conclusion that means that I'm not going to have any needs. Like, everything's just going to work out, and I'm not going to, you know, it's just going to be easy street. But the reality is that, man, needs are going to come. You and I are going to have needs throughout the course of life. And I like so much because Jesus identifies this. And Jesus says, you know what? God, here I am, and I have a need. And my need is that I need to eat some food. I need some bread for this journey. He identifies a need, and Jesus says, look, because you see, you understand tonight that while Jesus was God, he was also man. And he experienced life just as you and I experience life. That's why the Bible says things like, you know what? Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus knew what it was like to have a broken heart. I know he was the Son of God, but like, he wasn't like invincible in every way. You follow me tonight? The Bible says that Jesus, he was tempted in all points as we were tempted, yet without sin. Aren't you thankful tonight that we have a great high priest that knows what it's like to be in a position of temptation? And the Bible says, because he knows what it's like, he knows exactly how to help you and to get you out of that temptation. Won't allow the temptation to be so great that you can't handle it, but will provide a way of escape. Jesus is familiar with these feelings. Jesus is familiar with the human life. It says that he can sympathize with all the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses. He knows what it's like because he lived a very human life. Okay, yes, he was all God, but he was also all man. And so Jesus comes along and says, hey, you know what? I know what it's like to have a need. But along with that, he says, you know what? But I know the one who can meet that need. And his name is God. God is not just God tonight, y'all. God is not just a father. I need you to know tonight that God is also a provider. He is the source of life. I love the Psalms because Psalms comes along and says, God, you are the strength of my life and my portion forever. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. God is a provider. That's who God is. He is the great need meter. You follow me tonight? And I think it's important for you and I to understand who the source is. You know, I also wanted to take a time out and maybe veer off just a little bit because I thought it was important as I was looking over this portion of scripture. It's amazing how much God can speak to you through one little verse like, give us this day our daily bread. And when it comes to needs, I need everybody to understand tonight that if you have the idea that it's everybody else's responsibility in life to meet your needs, you got the wrong idea. They call it nowadays an entitlement mentality. And somehow our generation, not just our generation, when I say our generation, I'm kind of, you know, Antonio did this the other day. I think we're kind of partly Generation X and Millennial and Y, and depending on who you look at and who you listen to, we're just kind of all of them. But I think the reality is that humanity over the course of time has struggled with this. And has a different, if not in a great way, at least in a very small way, has grappled with this idea of entitlement. And somehow it seems like our generation has come to the conclusion that everybody else is responsible for meeting my needs. My mom and dad are responsible for meeting my needs. I mean, they're the ones who have the job first. They're the ones who decided to have me. They should have an inheritance laid up for me. I mean, where's my money? Where's my car? We think mom and dad are supposed to meet needs. Siblings are supposed to meet needs. Family, friends. We think society and government is supposed to meet all of our needs. We're having the arguments that we're having about healthcare. And you know what? These people who are rich in this place, are rich in business, they have a responsibility to pay me enough money so I could work my job and go home to a mansion, even though I have no experience, no education. Hello? And my friends, if that's our mentality, that's completely contrary to Scripture. You have a responsibility to be responsible for yourself. Amen. I came to help some people tonight, because some people tonight, you're sitting idly by and you're waiting for somebody else. In fact, you might even be in the house tonight, you're waiting for God to do something. God's like, I'm waiting for you to do something. When you start to do something, that's when I'll get involved and I'll bless it and you'll prosper. But as long as you don't want to work, you're not going to eat. You don't work, you don't eat, the Bible says. What you sow, you'll reap. The lazy man, he doesn't want to sow because it's cold outside. So when harvest time comes, Proverbs says, he ain't got nothing to show for. Duh! Right? An idle person, a lazy person, the Bible says, is devoid of understanding. And tonight, I didn't come to beat up on anybody. Tonight, I came to encourage somebody. I think God wants to get you off your fanny and get you going and begin to take steps in the direction that he has for you so you can walk into all of his goodness. Thank you, Pastor Antonio. I appreciate it. That's why we pay you to be a pastor. No, just kidding. Right? And so when it comes to meeting our needs, we need to understand that we have a responsibility to play our part, to play our role. I like how I learned it in Bible college. You put in your natural, God puts in the super, and you get supernatural. Amen? And so that's the attitude that you and I need to take. Now, have you realized tonight, though, that even though I'm putting in my effort, and even though I'm putting in my, and God is for me, he's not against me, and he's blessing me, I will still run into needs. I will still have needs. And that's another thing that I think that Jesus begins to address, because he, again, remember we said he identifies the need, but then he also identifies the one to meet the need, the source, the provider. And this is important in more than just the way we just talked about. This is important in a couple ways. One, you can't stand idly by, okay, and do nothing. But then on the other end, how many of you understand there's another extreme where people, it's almost like they've come to the conclusion that they are the sole source of meeting their needs. And needs become the driver of their life. They spend all their energy and all their effort, all their time, all their thoughts, everything they do, making sure that every last little need that could ever possibly arise is met. You follow me today? And that's another hazardous position to be in. On one end, you can't be lazy sitting by doing nothing. But on the other end, if needs are driving your life, then ultimately the needs become the dictators and the gods and the masters of your life. And they begin to tell you where to go, what to do, how to think, and how to carry out your life. And my friends, as long as needs are the dictator of your life, God is not. You follow me today? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. I think sometimes we think of that in terms of money because that's what Jesus was talking about there. He says you can't serve God and mammon. Actually, it's a little bit later on in Matthew chapter 6 where we're at right now. Okay, but that statement is true that you cannot serve two masters. At some point in time, the dictates of the masters are going to conflict. And that's where you and I are going to have to choose who we really serve. You follow me today. It needs to have a way of creeping in and begin to dictate how we think. What kind of needs do young adults have? Financial needs, bills. Did somebody say cars? C-A-R-S. I need a car. I got needs. Anybody know that we have relational needs, right? God didn't call us to do life alone. I need friends. I need some interaction here because I'm starting to turn out weird. We have needs, and these are legitimate needs. You need to eat. Like we said, you need to drink. You need to have, you know, clothing and this kind of thing. But while these are our legitimate needs, we have to be careful not to allow them to become the drivers of our life, okay? And I believe that's why Jesus comes along in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, and let's just read it together. Another familiar verse. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So Jesus is beginning to set priority here. Hey, not only is God the one who's going to meet your needs, but you need to begin to direct your attention and your focus, your energy and your efforts onto him. And him first. And as you do, all these other things are going to be a byproduct of putting God first. You see, I think oftentimes, and look, I'm guilty of it too, all right? We think that going after our needs and making sure they're met, that's how they're going to be met. But Jesus introduces a new thought and says, hey, as you put the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, then what's going to happen is all these other things are going to be added to you. All these other things that men spend their lives trying to obtain will be added to you as a result of seeking God. And I think that's so important. I think that's so cool. You want to know why? Because when needs are the governing authority in your life becomes less than what God intended for it to be. And how do I know that? Because Jesus comes along and says things like, isn't life more than food? Isn't life more than clothing? Isn't life more than all of these things that the Gentiles seek after? Come on, somebody. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? You could have all the food in the world. You could have all the money in the world. You could have all the clothing in the world and still be miserable because life is more than just material things. And when needs become the driver of our life, our life becomes less than what God intended. So that's why Jesus comes along and says, hey, put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I don't remember who said it, but I thought it was cool. And they said, you know what? If you have a list of priorities, you've got it all wrong. You can't have a list of priorities, plural. You need to have one priority. And all the rest will fall into line. Because if you have priorities, plural, you got a problem because all those priorities are going to be fighting to get to the top. Hello. I know it's a play on words. I know it's semantics. Okay, if you have a list of priorities, don't get under condemnation. I'm sure you're doing just fine. But what I'm trying to say to you is that there is one priority. His name is God. And when God is your priority, he will set everything else in line in the way that it needs to go. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what do we see? We see Jesus identify a need. We see Jesus identify the one who meets the need. And then even take us beyond that and say, hey, we need to put God at the forefront of our lives. Okay? And I think that's so cool to remember, right? God is a God who meets our material needs. Is anybody here thankful that God cares about the whole of the human life? He's not interested in just one part. He's not a one-sided God. He's an all-inclusive God. He cares about the spirit, the soul, and the body. Come on, somebody. And that's why we can read in I believe it's 3 John. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and that you would be in health, even as your soul prospers. Glory be to God. I know God's will for my life. God's will for my life is that I'm saved, that I'm delivered, that I'm healed, that I'm provided for, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. He cares about every part of my life. Amen. And so it's so cool to see God really, really, really say, hey, look, I care about this. And so you can trust me when it comes to the needs of your physical life. But how many of you also understand tonight that God is not only interested in your physical needs, he's also interested in your spiritual needs. In fact, if I could say it this way, your spiritual needs are of greater importance than your material needs. I don't think you really even needed me to come tonight to say that. I think you kind of already knew that, hopefully. You kind of already had an inclination to that truth. But your spiritual needs are of greater importance than your material needs. That's why Jesus can come along and say things like, hey, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Because spiritual needs are more important than physical needs. And I need to understand that. And you need to understand that. And we need to approach our life with that list of priority, singular. Trying to live according to my own message here. All right. You understand? You follow me? I like so much, and they can just pop it up real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. It's such a powerful portion of scripture. And he says here, for bodily exercise profits a little. Hey, it's cool to work out. That's a cool thing. You want to build some muscle? You want to look good? Yeah, that's cool. That's going to help you out a little. It does profit, but a little. But watch what it says after that. It says, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. What's more important here? Your spiritual life. Your spiritual life. I know this is like easy to understand. This seems like big basic Christianity 101. But it's interesting because I will feed myself 3 hot meals a day and 1 cold spiritual meal a month, a week, whenever it happens. Hello? And so more than knowing, we need to begin to put our lives into this line of thinking. And so, again, looking at verse number 11, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11, Lord's Prayer. Real quick, go back there with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. And when I read that, yes, the first interpretation of that absolutely is physical bread. But I also hear God saying to me and saying to you, you need to be asking for some spiritual bread too. Because you have a need spiritually. Amen. I want to read to you this Matthew Henry. He was a great Bible commentator. It's amazing how much they can pull out of one verse, you know. But he says something really, really cool that I wanted to share with you. And I'm going to paraphrase what he said, but he said this about Matthew 6, verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. He says, where am I at here? He says, when Jesus regulates the request of daily bread to just this day, the day in front of us, okay? Right, look, you guys got it up here? Put it up here again, okay? Give us, very good, very, let's try that again. Give us, which day? This day. Jesus is actually regulating the prayer here. How many realize today Jesus could have said it this way? Give us forever our daily bread. He didn't say that. He said, give us this day. He just regulated the day. Now, because of what Jesus did, now every day we're going to have to pray and ask God to meet our needs. How many of you would like to just show up to the next meal you have and God just bless the food for the rest of my life? Be done with it. But he doesn't do that. He regulates the prayer and he says, Father, give us this day our daily bread. So Matthew Henry goes on to say that when Jesus regulates the request of daily bread to just this day, he's actually setting us up to have to come to God in prayer every day in order to receive from God what we need each day. Do you follow? Okay, here we go. By so doing, By having to come to God in prayer daily, we are reminded on a daily basis that our lives consist of more than this earthly terrestrial realm and its demands. A spiritual life is to be attended to, and a renewal of our desire for God to satisfy our souls. Do I need to read that again? All right. All right. By having to come to God in prayer daily, okay, we are reminded on a daily basis that our lives consist of more than this earthly terrestrial realm and its demands. A spiritual life is to be attended to, and a renewal of our desire for God to satisfy our souls. You see, physical needs are met through spiritual means. And we're out of time. Physical needs are met through spiritual means. If you want this to be right, you're going to have to do this. So in order for this to work out, I realize I have to do this on a daily basis, which reminds me that life is more than this. Life consists of this. And when I begin to do this, all of a sudden this begins to get in order. I'm reminded that life is more than just material things. Life is more than the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's more than clothing. It's more than these different things. I have needs spiritually. I need to not only eat physical bread, I need to eat spiritual bread. You follow me today? Jesus said it this way, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Y'all follow me? All right. Where's Tony? Sorry for the distraction, everybody. We're going to keep on preaching the gospel. It must be good because the devil don't want us to hear some stuff tonight. And that's not with any disrespect or lack of love for our brother, but don't be distracted this evening. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. I submit to you that not only do you need a daily dose of physical bread, but you need a daily dose of the spiritual bread, which Jesus just defined as God's word. You need a daily word from God. Come on, somebody. God's word is what's going to give you what you need to move forward in life. God's word is the thing that's going to sustain you on your journey. God's word is the thing that gets you unstuck, that gives you your forward momentum, that clarifies and gets you back on track over and over again. God's word is what gives us access to what God has. We don't have access to anything except what God says we have access to. Hello? It's only till God speaks. It's when God speaks that things change. God speaks that we know that we have a promise that we can lay hold of. Tonight we're in need of a daily word. We're in need of God to speak to us and to our lives. I love so much what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, and I got to shut this down quickly. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. He says, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. Notice that word proceeds. It is a present tense word. It's not past tense. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeded. It doesn't say that. It says proceeds, present tense. You need a word from God today. Today. You don't need God's word from yesterday. You need God's word today. You're not in the future yet, so you need God's word today. Many times God's word talks about past and future, but you understand you need that word today. Now, before you get all crazy and go run off and say that I said something about something crazy about, well, we must not need the Bible then, because the Bible, like, that was said by God a long time ago. I didn't say that, okay? This is the avenue by which God is going to speak to you today. Hello. God spoke it, yes, a long time ago. This was written thousands of years ago. But this is, one more time, the vehicle that's going to get God's word to you today. Don't get me wrong, God can speak outside of the Bible. God can use whatever words he wants to, and he can speak to you whatever he wants to, but he will never speak out of line from this book, And more often than not, God will speak to you through this book and through scriptures. For my own personal life, God speaks to me many times through scriptures. I would have to say maybe 80% of the time, God speaks to me by telling me verses. And then I'm like, okay, I have to go look that up. And I have to kind of study the word of God. You believe in studying the word of God, right? And then I begin to understand what God is saying to me. I remember one time I'm just going to be transparent. I was frustrated with the advantage of a fellow employee. I felt like I deserved promotion. I felt like I deserved whatever it was. And it really started to bother me. And I started to get real carnal. I'm just being transparent. Started to recount to God, like, God, I've been here longer than they have, suffered more than they have, given more, cried more. You start to get dramatic. You start to say things that aren't even true, right? And you know what God spoke to my heart? He said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You know that's a Bible verse, right? Now listen to me very closely. I do not believe that God was telling me that in heaven that person was going to be last and I was going to be first. That's not what God was telling me. That's why you got to go look up the word of God and understand what God is saying. God was saying to me, don't get your eyes off on this material world and begin to make that your aim. Because if you do, you're not going to be last. You're not going to be first when you get to heaven. But if you'll carry out my will in your life, and you'll serve others, then you will be first. That's what God was saying. You follow me? And all of a sudden, I had peace and I could go to sleep that night. This is a little fun way of me sharing. So you need a word of God. You need a word of God today. Okay? I wonder if there's anybody here desperate for the word of God as much as you are desperate for your next meal. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse number 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Man, what a promise. Today you don't have to be hungry. Today you don't have to be thirsty. Today you don't have to find yourself in want. There are people in the world, my goodness, Mayweather just made more than $200 million. I submit to you, he can never be half as happy as a child of God who knows that Jesus is the bread of life and who comes to Jesus and says, feed me with the bread of life. Because that person, they will never hunger. $200 million will leave you hungry. $200 million will leave you thirsty. And listen, we don't need any more thirsty young adults running around the world today. That kind of thirsty only comes from an unsatisfied spiritual life. So let's call a spade, and let's understand where the true riches are. Let's understand where the true food is. It's in Jesus. Man, I'm so out of time, and there's so much more I want to say. Let me see if I can tell you this story really quickly. So you guys know the story of the children of Israel in Egypt, right? They're in bondage 400 years, slavery. I think everyone understands tonight that by any stretch of the imagination, slavery is by no means a good thing, right? These people lived in slums. They were given trash to eat. Their backs were split open by the taskmaster's whips. Their children were put to death. It was a terrible experience. And the Bible says that their cries came before the ears of God. And God said, all right, I'm going to deliver my people. I'm going to remember my promise to Abraham that I would bring his descendants into a land that I've called them to. So you know the story. God raises up Moses. And the Bible says that God, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, delivered these people. Right? Anybody here ever seen The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston? If you haven't, you need to go rent that movie. It is fantastic. It's old school, but it's got a little love story in it too. So ladies in the house, you're going to enjoy a little bit of romance in it. And then, yeah, it's going to be good. All right? So you want to go get it. But you see the plagues that God pours out on Egypt. And God kept on coming to Pharaoh through Moses saying, let my people go. And the Bible says that he refused to do so. So God would pour him out, and the final plague was that God killed all the firstborn in the land. All the firstborn people, males and all the firstborn of their livestock. And because of a sacrificed lamb on behalf of the children of Israel, the Bible says the angel of death passed over their households. And so the next morning, Pharaoh's like, hey, listen, take these people and get out of here, lest we all get wiped out, right? And so they leave, the Bible says, and they plunder Egypt. They leave with its silver, with its gold. They just ask for it, and the Egyptians are like, as long as you leave, you can have it all. They plundered Egypt. And the Bible says there was not one sick or feeble one among them. Can you imagine being slaves in that kind of a, in that kind of an atmosphere? What kind of injuries and what kind of things that they have? They would have had sicknesses and all kinds of stuff, and yet there was not one sick. They had a healing service that night. Aren't you thankful today that when Jesus died, he didn't just die for your sins. He died to heal your body too, and healing is a promise from God. Okay, but we're not. And so they find themselves at the Red Sea, right? I got to do this really quick. I'm taking too long, I know. And here comes Egypt. They're like, we want you back, you little suckers. And so God splits open the sea. They walk across on dry ground. The army tries to follow them, and the sea closes up on them. And Moses says, by the word of the Lord, this day the army that you see, you will see no more again forever. Praise God. God knows how to deal with the enemies of our life and wipe them out once and for all. Hallelujah. You don't have to be bound to whatever it is you're bound to the rest of your life. But let's move right along. Because the next thing that happens is they have roughly about a year's journey from where they were to reach the promised land. And it turned into 40 years of misery where they died in the wilderness and their children were found acceptable to go into the promised land. They had a year journey, okay? And the Bible says that during that year, in fact, it goes all throughout the 40 years. But during that year, the Bible says, it's kind of interesting because the Bible says that God fed them the whole way. You follow me? But then you read another verse and it says, he allowed them to hunger. So which is it? Did he feed them or did he allow them to hunger? And God gave them manna, okay? This would be equivalent to... for fun tonight. Eating, anybody here eat cereal? You like cereal for breakfast? You can handle cereal. I was raised on cereal, right? Any Frosted Flakes? People in the house? Right? Imagine eating Frosted Flakes for the next year. Could you do it? Without complaining? That's because he knows the right answer. But the Bible says that what God did was God, he didn't give them what they wanted. He gave them what they needed to test them. My friends, what I wanted to close in saying is that sometimes I think we get mixed up what we want with what we need. You follow me today? And we want some things so bad, we consider them needs, and they're really not. And when we enter into a position where we desire things so much that we see them as needs, what we've just said is, God, the material things of this world are more important than the spiritual things. And that's when I believe God comes into our life sometimes and we go through these dry seasons. God, how come I can't get a raise? God, how come I'm just doing the same old thing that I've always been doing for the last, and God's trying to get your attention so that you remember again who the source is and what's really important. And so it says that he fed them with manna, but he allowed them to hunger. He didn't give them everything that their little hearts desired so that they would know that the Lord is God, that he is the source, and life really can only come from him. How terrible would it be for them to go into the promised land and make idolatry out of the promised land? Make their lives all about the milk and honey, all about their homes, all about, and live empty lives. And so I want to read this to you. This is Psalms chapter 106, verse number 13 through 15. It says, they soon forgot his works. These people, I forgot to tell you, along the way, they're like, God hates us. We hate this. We hate this wilderness. Let us go back to Egypt. Are you serious? Back to Egypt, really? They even said it in multiple occasions, let's kill Moses and Aaron and let's raise up a new leader and let's go back. That's how much their hearts were perverted with needs and desires. And so it says here, they soon forgot his works, They did not wait for his counsel, talking about God, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. Watch what happens. So God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. God, actually, I want to catch you. They're like, we used to have bread all we could eat and steak. Like all we could eat. It was like all we could eat buffet in Egypt. God, why can't you do that? God's like, I'll do that in 2 seconds. That evening he came and quail came through the place and they ate meat to their heart's desire. Bible says they filled up, they got so much the stuff was rotting. And the Bible says that while the meat was yet in their teeth, the anger of the Lord was aroused against them. He started to wipe them out. Okay, now, man, I'm out of time. I need to stop. But let me say this to you. If you're experiencing a time in your life where you're going through leanness in your soul, you understand that leanness speaks of hunger. Leanness speaks that you're not having your spiritual needs met. Maybe it's and you know what? You're going through leanness in the other areas of your life. Maybe it's because God is trying to get your attention so that he can begin to get you back on the journey that he has for you so that you don't miss out. Last verse, and we'll stop. Proverbs 27:7 in the Amplified says, he who is satiated, or satisfied, if you will, with sensual pleasures loathes the honeycomb. You know why people don't want God? They don't want to come to church? Because they're satisfied with the things of the world. Okay? But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. See, those of us who are spoiled, we're nitpicky when it comes to the food we eat, right? But to somebody who's hungry, they'll eat everything in front of them and they'll be so thankful for it as we all should be. You follow me? So here's what I want to leave you with. Tonight, I want to ask you to take evaluation of your life and to begin to deprive yourself of the things that get in the way of God. And I want you to begin to cry out to God for a word from your life. And when that word comes into your life, watch out. It's going to be an amazing journey. Can we give God a great big praise this evening? I'm sorry for talking so long. I really am. Okay?